some Catholics, a few Catholics, are facing a huge conundrum this Lent. St. Patrick's Day falls on a Friday. You know, people are saying, my God, what are we gonna do, right? How can we not eat bangers and mash on St. Patrick's Day? Somebody asked me the other day, can I still have green beer if I've given up beer for Lent? Someone sent me an email the other day asking if the Archbishop was going to give a general dispensation for everybody, right? St. Patrick's Day, my goodness, what would we do without St. Patrick's Day? And of course, I could answer by saying, Jesus did not turn stones into bread in the desert. But then I thought, no, that's too judgmental, right? I don't want to do that. So my answer generally has been, you know, it's really up to you. I asked them, so what does your Lenten penance mean for you? What does it mean for you? Why did you take this Lenten penance or observance? Why are you doing this? And what are you trying to accomplish through your Lenten observances? So you answer your own question, right? So I'm focusing today, folks, on the second reading, St. Paul said, all my three practical implications and points, I want to base it on what Paul is trying to say. I think this reading helps us to get into the deeper meaning of Lent and of our Lenten observances, and not just Lent, but even beyond for life. So here are my three points for today. First of all, Paul says, and he begins with the statement, he says, bear your share of hardship for the gospel. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel. Now, you know that Paul suffered greatly for the gospel. And he wants Christians to bear their share of the hardship for the gospel. So questions like, can I eat meat on St. Patrick's Day even though it's Friday? I mean, those questions lose their sting when we read it or when we think about it in the context of what Paul is trying to say. Really, if one Lent on St. Patrick's Day, if we did not have meat, it's not going to make or break life or lose our salvation. But you see what I'm trying to say? Paul is trying to say your small hardship is nothing compared to what the gospel is all about. In fact, the Christian calling is deeper than mere penances and sacrifices. The Christian calling is far greater. The Christian calling is to the love of the gospel and everything the gospel stands for. The Christian calling is to the love of Christ, who has saved us by his life, so that we might live a holy life. That's what Paul says in today's reading. So when the love of Christ becomes our motivation, when the love of the gospel becomes the very reason for our existence, then our hardships, they become an expression of our love for Christ and the gospel. So this is why a Lent and our Lenten observances are not hardships we tolerate. Dear God, my God, how many more weeks till I can have my coffee, right, or chocolate? So it's not a hardship that we tolerate. It's really we undertake our penances so that Christ and the gospel may be manifest through me. That's why we undertake Lenten penances. So what are you going to do this Friday on St. Patrick's Day? It's really up to you. Whatever you do, whatever it is that you decide to do, do it out of love for Christ and the gospel. That's our motivation. takes us one step forward, and this is my second point. Besides the fact that sometimes our cultural revelries or our cultural practices clash with Lent, folks, even me, I have to constantly remind myself of the deeper purpose of Lent and my own Lenten observances. I have to remind myself, why am I doing this? And I think Paul's words to Timothy are helpful for me. Here's what Paul says. He says, Christ has saved us. Christ has saved us. Why? So that we may be holy. Christ has saved us so that we might be holy. In other words, not only our Lenten penances, but the purpose of Christian living itself is holiness. So let me put it this way. Why are you and I alive? For the sake of holiness. We have so many other purposes, but the Christian purpose is to be holy. And then Paul takes us further. Huh? He says, He has called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to His design. So this is a paradigm shift in the way that Paul thinks about holiness. He says, holiness is not something we do for God. How many times we think of, oh, I should be holy, I should pray, I should do this and I should do that. Holiness is not something that we do for God. Rather, holiness is what God can do in us. It's really a paradigm shift, the way you think about holiness. And this has implications for us for Lent. As we enter the second week of Lent and our Lenten penances begin to bear on us, our reflection must center around this deeper question. During this Lent, am I trying to do something for God? Or is it something that God is accomplishing in me? Through my Lenten observances, am I doing God a favor? Or is it really God leading me to holiness? Really, am I open to conversion this Lent? Does God have the freedom to transform me into who God wants me to be? This Lent, do we have the courage to set God loose in our lives? Christ has saved us so that we might be holy. And thirdly, I want to connect Paul's reading to the Transfiguration in today's gospel reading. Paul was very, very insistent about the fact that Christ appeared to him, because that's what separates apostleship from just ordinary discipleship. Paul always claimed that Christ appeared to him, and he says about how Christ appeared to him on his way to Damascus. So the appearance of Jesus Christ is a big deal for Paul, but not only with regard to his own personal conversion, but in Paul's mind, the history of the world is divided by the fact that Jesus appeared to the world. Now, the Transfiguration was one of those moments where Christ appeared to the disciples like he was, in his divine glory, right? As important as the Transfiguration was from the perspective of God and Jesus, you know, Jesus is manifesting himself to the world, I want to look at Jesus' appearance in the Transfiguration from the perspective of the disciples. In fact, we can divide the disciples' lives into two halves, one before the Transfiguration and one after the Transfiguration. Thus far, they thought of the Messiah as somebody who would come and set them free from the Romans. But after the Transfiguration, they get a deeper and a fuller vision of the ministry of Jesus. It's a very different thing. their lives before the transfiguration and after the transfiguration, two different ball games. So this has implications for us, the fact that Christ has appeared. And the way I reflect on this is, we too are a post-transfiguration people. We too are a, in fact, it's even more, we too are a post-resurrection people. And the fact that Christ has appeared has got to mean something. It did for Paul. The fact that Christ appeared to Paul, it split his life into two different halves. It did for the apostles, it did for the disciples, and us. Each week we celebrate the Eucharist. Each week we receive the body and blood of Christ. Each week we are sent forth into the world with the real presence of Christ. Folks, this has to mean something. This has to mean something. Christ has appeared to us, Paul says. Christ has appeared to us. This has got to mean something. So as we enter the second week of Lent, we ask ourselves, what Christ was trying to accomplish in the disciples through the transfiguration, whatever it is that Christ was trying to accomplish, can Christ do the same thing with us? Because that transfiguration was a key experience for the disciples, and it set them on a completely different track. That needs to happen to us. So this week, may I ask you to keep your eyes focused on this transfiguration event. And often find yourself in prayer. May what happened to the disciples happen to us. May we understand that Christ has saved us for holiness, and that he has appeared to us so that he might make himself manifest through us to the world. And when we think about all this, then Lent becomes a completely different thing. So in a very small way, this Eucharist today, this is our transfiguration. Bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ. And we can be like Peter. Dear God, dear Christ, please, let me stay here. And let me drink it all in so that I can bear witness to you and to the gospel. People of God said, Amen. Amen.